But we start with an important piece of economic analysis from the OECD, basically, I suppose, a group of the richest countries in the world. They've drawn up a new survey saying that the gap between rich and poor in most of the world's developed countries has reached its widest point in 30 years. The wealthiest 10% of the population today earns 9.5 times the income of the poorest 10%, compared to only 7 times as much in the 1980s. So let's find out a little bit more about this before we expand our investigation of this, politically sensitive subject, apart from anything else, Rob Young. This isn't something that we often hear. They're even recommending redistribution, which has almost kind of fallen off the political radar. What's the basic findings, Rob?
Yeah, the OECD, which, as you were saying, is effectively a club of the world's richest countries, are saying that the gap between the rich and the poor is the widest it's been for 30 years, since they basically started collecting information on this kind of stuff. And most OECD countries have got more unequal over that period of time. Only Greece and Turkey have become more equal. And it's saying that inequality has a negative and statistically significant impact on economic growth. So basically, when income inequality rises, economic growth falls. Not that economies go into recession, but the rate of economic growth is lower than it otherwise would be. And that the starkest example, which this report lists, is New Zealand, which it reckons income inequality has knocked 15 percentage points off the rate of economic growth there.
15?
1.5, which is an awful lot of billions, potential jobs and all the rest of it, if this report is right. In the United States, it's 6 percentage points, an awful lot for the world's biggest economy there. And as you suggested just now, one of the responses they suggest to tackling this particular problem is going to be politically controversial. They're saying that you need to increase the income for the bottom 40% by, yes, using things like perhaps higher minimum wages, but also redistribution, taking wealth from some of the richest and giving it to the poorest 40% of the population. Because the OECD is saying that redistribution in and of itself does not lower economic growth.
That's really interesting. Rob, stay with us, because if you want to talk inequality, you want to talk to Danny Dorling. He's Professor of Geography at the University of Oxford. Delighted to say that he joins us now. This, I would imagine, doesn't surprise you, but can I ask about the what seems to be, from what Rob was saying, the central issue, that inequality in a society squashes the economy for everyone. Do you agree with that? Is that credible?
Inequality tends to increase inefficiency. This report does surprise me because the extent of the increase in inequality across the whole of the OECD is staggering. It's now got to the top 10% of people in the OECD within each country earning 9.5 times more than the poorest within their own countries. That's a staggering measure. We've never measured anything like this before. We can guess that it was as bad as this in the 1920s. But we didn't measure it in quite the same way.
So you're going back all the way to the 1920s to find a comparison. Can I ask, because many of our listeners don't live in the developed, rich world, and they'll be listening to this thinking, well, this is how the world's always been arranged from our point of view. Do you think there are wider lessons, not just for the OECD countries, the wealthy countries, but for the world more generally?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the wealthy countries of the world became the most equal between the 1920s, 30s, 40s and 50s. Income inequalities within the USA and the UK and the whole of Europe and Japan fell dramatically. So the wealthy countries of the world that created welfare states, that saw the incomes of workers rise, that created a desire for consumption. And these countries became very, very rich and very efficient, and they were the most equal countries of the world. Inequality within the rich countries has been rising since the 80s, but it's risen much more in some, like New Zealand and others. For instance, Germany has had a very slow rise in inequality, and Germany is a country which has done very well since the 1980s.
One thing I want to put to you is that the argument against this, particularly, I mean, as Rob was explaining, one of the concrete policy options that they come up with is more distribution. Now, on the other side, they'll say, well, that's just arguing the politics of envy. It doesn't really matter sort of how rich they are at the top. What really matters is how poor people are at the bottom. And most developed economies, even I think if you look at China, they are delivering for people at the bottom. So the inequality doesn't really matter.
The problem is that if people at the bottom are getting 9 or 10 times less than people at the top, it's very hard for them to achieve a standard of living within the country which is decent. So a good example is the United States, which is a very rich country, but people at the bottom cannot afford to rent a car. Now, if you can't rent a car in the United States, you are poor because there's a lack of pavement in many areas. The distances between shops and houses and schools are simply too wide. So in these affluent countries, countries, you can't survive with a standard of living that gives you dignity on 9 or 10 times less than what the top 10 have.
Is anyone going to listen, finally, to this report? It comes from an organisation that isn't known for, you know, coming up with the politics of envy or sort of left-leaning, left-leaning progressive policies. Do you sense a change in the argument at all?
We are getting a change, and from the IMF as well, and from the Catholic Church, we're getting a change. I mean, really, across the globe, people are beginning to realise we are heading back to the 1920s and 30s. It was not a good time to head back towards. Things do not work efficiently when the bottom 40% of our society have so very little. It's not about the politics of envy, it's about the politics of decency.
Well, many, many thanks indeed for joining us. Danny Dorling, Professor of Geography at the University of Oxford, reflecting on that report from the OECD that Rob Young was just explaining about the gap between rich and poor in most developed countries reaching its widest point in 30 years.